Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, and you're going to be glad you're with me because we got our good buddy Jim Ostroff back on the show. Jim is one of the outstanding editors over at the Kiplinger Washington Editors, the guys who produced the Kiplinger Letter, which has been around since 1923, third generation of family-owned management, a family-owned business with third-generation family management, I should say, and from Willard to Austin to Knight, and I've been part of that, part of their world, reporting on their letter since 1998. How about that? And that's what we talk about, the Kiplinger Letter, every week, and Jim Ostroff is our regular. He is one of the great editors over there. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jim, and good morning, everyone.
It's good to have you back, Jim.
Thank you.
Jim, we're going to talk about there's some breaking news today, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on. First up, we got to talk about a little politics, and that's what's going on. You guys reported this week on what's happening with the election as we get closer. We're about 4.5 months away from the November 2nd election, and what's it looking like?
I should say, recall, Kiplinger never takes sides on politics or in any issue. But I'd say we've looked, and it looks grimmer and grimmer for the Democrats.
Hmm.
They are very likely.
Which is more? Which is in more danger, a Democrat or an incumbent?
Incumbent.
It's hard to say, isn't it, really? My goodness, look what happened in Utah.
Well,
Bob Bennett, one of the classic statesmen. I mean, nobody in Washington didn't like Bob Bennett. I mean, he's a pragmatic guy. He was a statesman, right. Republican. No matter whether you're Republican or Democrat, you knew Bob was a statesman. He was an even keel guy, an honest broker, and they kicked him out. The Republicans kicked him out of Utah.
That's right, and I think it's a sign of the times that there's a lot of unrest on the land. And and so many people joke, but there really is a bit of the throw the bums out mentality.
Yeah.
And it's netting Democrats and Republicans. But overall, particularly in the House, which, of course, the entire House is up every 2 years. And this year, it's likely that, the Republicans will make a very large gain, at least 30 seats. And there still is a chance that the Republicans could take back control of the House of Representatives.
Yeah.
In the Senate, unlikely. It's harder.
That's a big train to turn around there. But Jim, this is such an interesting thing to me. I saw this. My antenna ran up real quick when I saw what happened and how immediately it happened in about the third week of September 2008. When Congress tried to rush through the first TARP,
right, that's right.
American grassroots, American Main Street, Billy Joe Bob and Loreen Americans rose up on their hind legs and said, "We don't like this." And this is before anybody had ever heard about a Tea Party,
right?
Other than the one that was in the 18th century. And so my point is, there was a reaction to that. And that hurt the Republicans in November of 2008, and it's still going on today, and it's going to hurt the Democrats in 2010. And Jim, I don't care whose ox is getting gored. I'm very excited about the fact that Americans got indignant about something and reacted and behaved the way that they've done, regardless of what party gets ousted.
It is. Absolutely essential for our democracy that a large number of people think, get involved.
Jim, in your lifetime, when have Americans risen up like they are doing in the last 2 years? I don't remember this.
Yeah,
I'm very excited about this.
It's a ways back now. I mean, you could look at 74, you know, that Watergate year when there was a tremendous turnover.
But I mean, but see, that was a kind of thing that's easy for the average person to get their hands around, you know, with the scandal and all that. But this was a fiscal thing. This was a financial. This is in the weeds. Yeah, the TARP thing was kind of in the weeds, and they reacted immediately. That was amazing to me.
Well, and you know, at some point, I mean, there are some number of people who just look at these things and just say it's not right, it's not fair,
right.
We don't like it. Now, of course, Congress eventually did pass that.
And we'll see, though, but people are still paying the price for that vote. And we'll see how it goes in November. We're going to report a little bit more on this and some other issues, including some breaking news after this message. It's 20 Till. Stay with us. Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out, using it to your advantage. Lots of stuff there for you and your small business. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget to take our poll. We got a poll question there on the homepage. And this week's poll is all about whether you would be more likely to hire an employee as you grow your business or to buy technology and grow your business and grow your capability that way. So check that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com and all the other things. Don't forget all the other things. Thousands of lots of different things there that will help you. Answers, archives, articles, etc. Jim Ostroff is our guest. Jim is our good friend and a longtime Brain Trust member. He's associate editor with the Kiplinger Editors. That's what we're talking about today, the Kiplinger Letter. The only thing we're talking about the election coming up in November, and you know, when I think about President Obama and what's going on, you know, he's got all the regular stuff that he has to deal with, and the economy, unemployment, you know, all that stuff is and plus his own agenda that he's trying to push, but then BP does something stupid. And creates an environmental holocaust.
And then
one of his generals who everybody thought was the most, you know, dependable, smart, savvy guy, somehow has a senior moment and allows somebody from Rolling Stone to follow him around for 3 days and thinks nothing bad's going to happen from that.
Yeah.
Now, you got to be thinking about this time. Obama's got to be looking in the mirror saying, I know what I was feeling, but what was I thinking?
Yeah, you know.
Talk about buyer's remorse. Who would want this job, Jim?
Well, that,
when you got this kind of scenarios, these kind of things that are happening out there, and you're getting blamed for them, your party's getting blamed for them, who would want that job?
You know, that really is, I must say, it is a factor, that job, or maybe others. You know, say in Congress or in government, you know, more and more there are people who are saying, well, why do I want to do this? Why do I want public service?
And why would you put yourself through the scrutiny? Why would you put your family? Mm-hmm. I mean, you almost get the point where only an egomaniacal, power-hungry, control freak narcissist would want to do something like this.
Well, I really take issue with your name calling of me over here.
I was getting a little too close to you.
Too close to the vest over here, but I'll let it slip because I'm also magnanimous. But anyhow, no, the Congress is very likely today, as you said, to sign off on this financial services reform.
Oh yeah, that's the breaking news, and I wonder if that couldn't wind up being something that could hurt certain people in the election. The FinReg folks, as we talked a little bit about last hour, is the government's approach to dealing with what caused the financial meltdown. Now, Jim, they're regulating Wall Street and banks in this FinReg rule,
right?
But we all know that Congress played a big part in the meltdown by propping up and supporting and jawboning the value the the contribution of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and they both turn out to be major nightmares.
Right, right.
But there's nothing in this FINRAC is going to say, oh, we messed up, and this is what we're doing about it.
No, there certainly isn't. And, of course, the issue, yeah, the big issue is whether this will have the effect overall of inhibiting, you might say, you know, capital formation and, you know, real and honest and as we know, positive risk taking.
Right. Like venture capitalists, which is what you reported on this week.
Well, I think on the VC market, we're looking here at a major shakeout. You know, maybe 20% of today's 800 or so VC firms are likely to close up
wow.
shop. Yeah, and of course that is tied directly to the fact that the pace of IPOs, the volume, has really slowed down dramatically.
Well, because as we've reported many times, as I've written so many times about you know capitalizing your small business, don't deal with a venture capitalist unless you're prepared to realize that they're looking for an exit strategy. And one of the classic exit strategies for a venture capitalist is take the company public in an IPO.
It is.
And they
absolutely
cash out, and you take their money, they take their money. But, Jim, Sarbanes-Oxley has already, which passed in 2002, has already hurt the IPO market.
Well, these
new financial regulations are just going to do more damage to that, aren't they?
And, you know, they may, again, we don't know, but they may. And overall, you just say here, you know, a problem company here, a problem there, nothing, but it's the overall trend. And
yeah.
if there is a constriction on the flow of venture capital over time, that is negative for business, negative for business formation, employment, and purchase and investment.
Yeah.
So,
well, let me tell you two quick stories, Jim. I've talked to two people in the last 8 years who had to go from being public to private again because of Sarbanes-Oxley, because of the onerous costs, expenses of complying with Sarbanes-Oxley. They weren't big didn't have a big capital formation. They were smaller public companies, but they had to stop being public. And I talked to another person who went public in 96, who's still public, and I said, if you were going public today, this was about 5 years ago, I asked him that. If you were going public today, what would you do? He said, I couldn't do it. He said, I wouldn't be able to afford to go public. Folks, this is your federal government. This is your Congress at work. This is the stuff that they did with Sarbanes-Oxley. And now the FINRAG rules, just be careful. Don't get too excited about this. This could create more problems, more unintended consequences, as Congress often does. Tintail, stay with us.
Love is strange. Lot of people take it for a game.
Welcome back, 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My good friend Jim Ostroff is with us. He is with the Kiplinger Editors. And Jim, that's Kiplinger.com, right?
That is correct, yes.
And what about those biweekly letters you guys got, too?
Well, yeah, of course, we have the agriculture letter, the tax letter, and there's our Kiplinger personal
finance magazine. That magazine thing
that
you got
magazine,
there.
That magazine, right.
Yeah, and that's available on newsstands as well, but also it's you've got your website, Kiplinger.com, and folks, I encourage you to check out their publications. Also, what about that phone number, Jim?
Yeah, there's a toll-free number, and that is 800-544-0155.
And, of course, don't forget the flagship, the Kiplinger letter, the mothership that's brought them all to where they are today since 1923. You guys got a birthday coming up in this thing in September. So check it out, folks, Kiplinger.com. Jim, earlier in the week, when the Fed was meeting, I had a former Fed member, Bob McTeer, on my show. He's been a member of my brain trust since 99. And I asked him about, he's a great economist, and because he's a very plain English economist, which you don't find too many of those these days. And I asked him if there's a concern for deflation. And he said that he didn't say that there was a concern, meaning we were going into a deflationary period, but he said that deflation is an issue, and you guys report that this week, don't you?
Well, there is concern that, you might say, overall prices will not only stall, but then begin to decline.
Yeah.
And that is ruinous, as much as hyperinflation.
It could be if it gets out of control, because the Fed can manage inflation by adjusting the interest rates.
Right.
But with their and they can adjust deflation if they've got some headroom in their interest rates. But now they're sitting at near zero. They don't have any bullets for deflation,
no,
do they?
No, they got a
scabbard full of a pouch full of bullets for inflation. They got no bullets for deflation.
No, they don't. And I said it could be ruinous. Of course, the biggest case we saw was during the Great Depression, and that took a long time to work out. Now, I think it would be terrible because prices continue to fall, and everything that goes with that in terms of investment and hiring and other things.
I don't think deflation is a scenario that applies to America, though,
no,
Jim. And here's why. This is a consumer society. You give small business, you give anybody the ability to buy something, and they're going to buy it. I mean, the place where deflation is ugly is where you don't have a thriving middle class, where you don't have people who are consumers. You know, our two-thirds of our economy is consumer.
It is.
Even today.
Consumers.
So I don't, even though I think deflation, what I worry about deflation for, Jim, is it's putting continued pressure on the profits of small businesses.
Well,
because we don't have any pricing power.
Right. That is correct. And no pricing power at all there. But let me just say, we tend to think that prices or the situation, inflation will continue to ride along at very low levels, at least to the end of the year, and then begin to pick up. Probably no deflationary bubble.
But isn't this kind of bumping back between a little inflation, a little deflation? Isn't that kind of the good news in all of our other problems right now?
I was going to say, it is. Because it'd be basically just say, it is good because, after all is said and done, I'm saying interest rates are very low.
Right.
And you might say, enjoy it, go and spend it. And this would actually be ideal. Maybe with a little higher inflation, but low inflation over time is ideal for growth. Maybe a little higher than it is today.
Right.
But the thing here is there's concern among some that things will turn really bad and we'll see deflation. That's not likely.
Well, again, in my opinion, Jim, even if we have the recovery is stalling just a little bit, it seems, right now. There's some people who are concerned about the health of the recovery, the robustness of the recovery. But even so, if we do turn a little deflationary, I think America will. I think if there's ever a place where a little deflation could be dealt with and managed and turned around without a whole lot of too much damage, I think the United States is where that could be. Hey Jim, I got to wrap it up. Thanks for being here. Kiplinger.com, right?
That is it. And I thank you, Jim. Thank you, everybody.
We'll see you next week, right?
Take care.
Jim Ostroff will be back, folks, next week with another report on the most recent Kiplinger letter. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships were made for. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.